On July 22nd, the United States and Saudi Arabia signed a civil nuclear cooperation agreement, which is called the 123 Agreement under the Atomic Energy Act, along with a bilateral safeguards agreement. U.S. Secretary of Energy Chris Wright and Saudi Minister of Energy Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman signed the Peaceful Nuclear Cooperation Agreement for a decades-long multi-billion dollar partnership. Under the proposed deal, Saudi Arabia would be allowed to develop the technology to enrich uranium for nuclear fuel, while the U.S. companies would build and supply its nuclear reactors. But this has worried many nuclear experts because Saudi Arabia has previously said it wants the option to develop nuclear weapons if needed. Now here the problem is that giving Riyadh uranium enrichment technology could one day make it easier to build a nuclear bomb, even if the program starts as civilian. UAE was the first Gulf country to sign a 123 agreement with the US back in 2009, which became the basis of its Baraka nuclear power plant, built with South Korean reactors, but under US-approved non-proliferation terms. Saudi Arabia is indeed the second Gulf state to reach this kind of formal US civil nuclear agreement. Now, a few things worth noting is that Congress now has 90 days to review and potentially act on the deal, so it's not fully finalized yet. Some Democratic lawmakers have raised concerns given the timing. This deal was reached as the United States was also bombing Iran to pressure it over its own nuclear program, with many saying that it could fuel a regional arms race. And if you see, this agreement is not new. It was built on earlier November 2025 joint declaration completing negotiations between Trump and Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The July 2026 signing formalized that into the actual 123 agreement and safeguards pact. Now I want you to pay attention to the timing. Notice the timing. This agreement was reached while the United States was simultaneously carrying out strikes on Iran. Now, one way to interpret this is that US under Trump is trying to pursue a long-term strategic approach by strengthening Saudi Arabia's nuclear capabilities to serve as a regional counterbalance if Iran decides to accelerate its nuclear ambitions in the future. As of now, we know that United States has degraded a significant portion of Iran's nuclear infrastructure. So, this deal with Saudi could be seen as part of a broader strategy to maintain the regional balance of power. You see, Saudi and Iran has always had their differences, both in terms of geopolitics and religion. Sunni Shia Muslims don't get along. They have historic differences. Then Saudi Arabia is home to Makkah Medina, Islam's holiest cities, and Saudi Arabia sees itself as a leading power in the Muslim world. They don't want to be seen weak in front of a nuclear capable Iran, who always challenges Saudi's strategic position. Saudi Arabia has always wanted to be the Middle East's dominant power, and Iran is its primary obstacle. If you look at the timeline, the Saudi nuclear deal didn't suddenly happen because the US struck Iran. The groundwork for the agreement had already been laid months earlier, well before the Iran conflict escalated after Operation Rising Lion in February 2026. So, it would be misleading to say that the US bombed Iran and then decided to arm Saudi Arabia. That's not really what happened. Instead, the United States was following two strategies at the same time. On one side, it was putting military pressure on Iran. On the other, it was steadily strengthening its long-term partnership with Saudi Arabia. The nuclear agreement was just one part of the bigger plan. Around the same time, the US and Saudi Arabia has also signed agreements on F-35 fighter jets, artificial intelligence, critical minerals, and other defense and technology cooperation. In simple terms, these are not separate reactions to one event. They were parallel moves that fit into Washington's broader Middle East strategy. And if you look at Saudi Arabia's nuclear ambition, it did not start because of this deal or because the US wanted it. For more than a decade, Saudi Arabia has been trying to build its own nuclear program. It has held talks and signed cooperation agreements with countries like France, Russia, and South Korea, long before the current developments. Today, after witnessing Iran's response, the importance of having a nuclear energy program has become even more significant for Saudi Arabia. It strengthens Saudi Arabia's long-term goals of maintaining its regional influence, balancing Iran's growing capabilities, and reducing its dependence on oil by investing in nuclear energy. So, we cannot fully say that the US is preparing the chessboard positioning Saudi Arabia. Saudi has its own goals and has been actively pushing for a nuclear program for years. The US partnership is simply one part of Saudi Arabia's broader long-term strategy. Now, you may feel that it's a smart strategy by the United States to equip Saudi Arabia with nuclear capabilities. By helping Saudi Arabia develop nuclear technology, that might seem like a good way to balance Iran's power, but then it also comes with serious risks. Just think about it. If Saudi Arabia gets the ability to enrich uranium, other Middle Eastern countries may also want the same capability. Instead of slowing Iran's nuclear ambitions, it could actually encourage Iran to speed them up. This can make the region more unstable, not more secure. It might end up creating a nuclear race in the Middle East rather than preventing one. At the same time, it is also true that countering Iran is clearly one of the reasons behind the growing US-Saudi partnership. But it's probably not the only reason. The relationship is also driven by Saudi Arabia's own ambitions to become a stronger regional power, major business and defense deals, energy cooperation, AI, critical minerals, and broader US strategic interest in the Middle East. So instead of saying that the US simply armed Saudi Arabia to stop Iran, it's more accurate to say that this nuclear agreement is one piece of a much bigger US-Saudi partnership. Now, whether it turns out to be a smart long-term strategy that keeps the region stable or a risky move that sparks a nuclear arms race is something only time will tell. One more important thing we need to understand is this. Within days of the deal being signed, actually a day after the deal was signed, Trump wrote on Truth Social that the civil nuclear deal will be approved, but it is totally subject to Saudi Arabia joining the very respected and successful Abraham Accords. It is the same framework that had already normalized relations between Israel and the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco and Sudan. If you see, this was not part of the original announcement. When the deal was announced on Wednesday last week, neither the Energy Department nor the Saudi government mentioned any linkage to Israel. But then Trump being Trump, his post came a day later and it almost like first you sign, then I will tell you rest of the conditions. Now this makes the agreement even more complicated. Now think about it. The biggest problem is Palestine. Saudi Arabia supports the creation of Palestinian state, while Israel's current government under Netanyahu strongly opposes it. Netanyahu doesn't oppose Saudi Arabia joining the Abraham Accords. His office actually welcomed the idea, calling it an historic leap forward for peace in the Middle East. What Netanyahu's government opposes is the price Saudi Arabia is asking for. Saudi Arabia wants a way for Palestinian statehood. Saudi Arabia doesn't want to normalize ties with Israel unless there is a real progress towards Palestinian statehood. So both sides, that is Israel and Saudi Arabia, wants the deal, but they are stuck because Israel's current government and the coalition parties opposes the idea of Palestinian statehood. And then Netanyahu, who is also dealing with internal political pressure and elections, he has refused to make that commitment. That is why Trump's idea of offering Saudi Arabia a nuclear deal in exchange for recognizing Israel sounds good on paper, but in reality, it turns into the same Palestine issue that has blocked such a deal for years. So, if you see, this idea of Trump putting a condition on Saudi Arabia is not new. It's basically an old deal coming back. Even in 2023, during Biden's presidency, Saudi Arabia had indicated and it was open to recognizing Israel, but only if the US offered strong security guarantees, help them build a civil nuclear program, and last but not the least, Israel must make real progress towards creating a Palestinian state. But now what Trump is saying to Saudi Arabia is that, recognize Israel first, then we will think about proceeding with signed deal. So basically Trump is saying we will give everything that has been signed on paper, but recognize Israel first. This is like putting more pressure and urgency for the same deal. So it is not like United States is asking Saudi Arabia to prove yourself first. It is more of like United States is saying to Saudi, we gave you the deal, now the price of keeping it is recognize Israel. It is like using something already on the table as leverage, rather than as an upfront reward. You need to understand this. Saudi Arabia currently wants nuclear defense upgrades. Saudi Arabia is genuinely under fire, wanting more security and technological backing from the United States. And with Iran, whatever it is doing these days, that is firing on UAE and Saudi oil and gas infrastructure, US is using all this as pressure to make Saudi agree to recognize Israel. Now Trump's Abraham Accords conditions landed literally the same week when Iran resumed strikes on Saudi soil. But then we also don't see any sign of Saudi Arabia softening on the Palestinian front. MBS is not at all giving in to US demands just because of Iranian threat. So, if you look closely, the US strategy or playbook is much more complex than simply winning or losing wars. Most people think a war ends with one side winning and the other side losing. But for United States, the bigger goal is often to shape the situation after the war in a way that creates new political and diplomatic leverage. Trump's latest demand seems to be part of that approach, using the current situation to see whether Saudi Arabia is willing to shift its position rather than expecting an immediate deal. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching and I'll see you in the next one.